Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Joined by Paul Dottino, I am John Schmelk. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter if you prefer to participate that way. We'll monitor that throughout the show. Paul Dottino, how are you?
Great, John. You know, the weather has broken. You know, that deep freeze that we had is decided that it was going to go away. And in fact, not only is it warming up, it's also dry, which I like a lot.
Now it's only regular cold.
Yeah, regular cold. That's acceptable for December.
But remember, after today, and someone pointed this out, the days begin to get longer again.
Yes.
Winter solstice.
That is true. That is true. You know, to me, it's funny because weather has been so unpredictable lately, and it's the NFL Network just this week.
Weather's always unpredictable, by the way.
Sometimes more than others. And this week, NFL Network ran their documentary special on the Fog Bowl, if you remember.
I did see that, yes.
Eagles and the Bears. And that truly was the most unpredictable weather situation I've ever seen in any sporting event, any time, any place. That was nuts.
All right, we'll obviously do a lot of preview here of Giants, and we'll do a lot of preview of Eagles. But first, let's talk about the good news, Paul, that came down yesterday for the New York Giants. Four members of the team making the Pro Bowl. You can give us a call, talk about that, or if you want to talk about the guys you think got snubbed, we can do that as well at 201-939-4513. Let's start on defense, and not a surprise, two guys that have anchored the secondary all year long will be playing in Orlando the week before the Super Bowl, Janoris Jenkins and Landon Collins.
Yeah, you know, Landon Collins was the easy one because right from the very get-go, he's been making plays. And I think the Rams game in London, if you had any doubts about how good he could be, when he had that pick six and basically just ignited this team and carried them on his back and spurred them on to victory, I think that told everybody on a national stage that, hey, this Landon Collins is getting pretty good. So that was his coming out party, and then subsequently the rest of the turnovers and everything else that he's done on some national television games certainly helped. Jenkins was the one, John, that you and I and everybody around New York knows that he's a Pro Bowl caliber player. I didn't know how many people around the country knew it, but then Papa said to me the other day, but Paulie Dotts, there was some big-time 4 o'clock games and some national televised games.
The game against the Cowboys was a biggie.
That really helped him. Yeah. When he stuffed Dez with only one catch in two games,
absolutely.
He's like, I think people are going to know. And I guess they did.
They did. And, of course, Landon Collins' numbers jump off the page. That obviously not a surprise, very deserving. From a special teams perspective, I got to admit, a little surprised that Dwayne Harris got the nod, given the fact he has not been very dynamic as a returner this year. But as a coverage guy, a role he didn't really play as much last year because of his increased role on offense, he's been great downing balls inside the five. So he gets into the Pro Bowl. Oddly enough, the guy that was kicking those balls inside the five does not, Brad Wing.
Yeah, and Wing, who just got his second straight NFC Special Teams Player of the Week honor this morning, he will tell you that Dwayne Harris does deserve those kinds of accolades as well. And I even said to Brad last week that I thought Dwayne Harris should have been the co-Special Teams Player of the Week last week for downing two kicks inside the five.
And also setting a nice block on a punt to him to prevent the ball being down inside the five. Though, that ball almost hit him. That was very, very close.
Beagles is sitting next to me, and he goes to me, oh, that is such a smart play. And I said, yeah, what if the ball hit him? He said, well, it's a risk you got to take. But no question, I am really thrilled for Dwayne Harris because not only has he been an incredibly dynamic special teams guy who has shown, John, that you can be effective on specials even if you're not getting touchdowns on returns.
Yeah.
But being the gunner and the cover guy and downing the ball and making tackles, that can be just as important to tilt the field, even though it's on the other side of the field and not on your offensive side with the ball. But here's the other thing. I have to tell you, folks, for those of you who don't know Dwayne Harris, this guy is about as genuine as they come.
Yeah.
He goes out there, despite getting run over by a bus time and time and time again.
Not literally now, folks. Not literally.
Figuratively. I swear to you, John, he has been the most beaten up, scotch-taped, paper-clipped, crazy glued player that I have seen in this locker room for the last I don't know how many years, and he keeps going back out there for more every time.
You hope he's actually able to play in the game, assuming the Giants are not going to the Super Bowl that week and nobody's able to play, but you hope his health will allow him to participate
I really
in
do.
The game if the Giants are no longer in the postseason.
I'm very happy for
him.
Very
happy. Then, of course, a guy no one should be surprised about is in the Pro Bowl. That's Odell Beckham Jr., third year in a row for him. He's pretty good, so not a surprise there. I'm sure we'll try to put on a show down in Orlando.
Period. Enough said.
A couple snubs. I'll throw out a couple names for you. Snacks, who I think has probably been one of the best defensive tackles in the league.
Here's criminal.
Here's the problem. The three guys that made it are all really, really good, and you can't take four.
Yeah, but my problem with it is not only has he been a dramatic impact on this rush defense, which went from way down here to up here, he's on a team that isn't the playoffs, which they usually tell you. Playoff teams usually kind of get a little bit of a
to me,
a
it
help.
Shouldn't, but okay.
But they tell you that.
It shouldn't, but okay.
I don't say that it should, but they tell you that.
But it shouldn't, but okay.
And look at this man's production. When we talked in the offseason, Bob, when he signed with the Giants, Bob, John, I'm sorry.
Does that mean I get the cash Bob Papa's paycheck, too?
Do you want the booth? John and I talked about this. You remember this when we talked about when he signed and we had found out that he had never played in more than 55% of his team's snaps when he was with the Jets. They said that he did not get much push on the pocket.
Right.
He was strictly an early down run-stopping lineman and that there were certainly a lot of limitations to him. John, he's playing a lot more snaps than that with the Giants.
He is, but he's not generating a lot of pass pressure.
He's not, but what he is doing, besides taking double teams and besides stuffing gaps.
Absolutely.
He's also making sure that the front of the pocket doesn't fall apart. And that may not be pass pressure, but it is important.
Okay, well, here's my
counter. Because when guys step up.
And look.
He's there.
I will never argue against Damon Harrison's value to this team.
80 tackles, by
the
way.
Best
all-NFL defensive lineman.
Correct. Best run stuffer in the league, in my opinion. He's been phenomenal, consistent, all that stuff. Who are you taking off? I mean, you can argue Fletcher Cox is just as good as a run defender, and he's a better pass pressure. You're not taking Aaron Donald off the team. I mean, he might be the best defensive player in football right now.
I can't take Aaron Donald off.
I have trouble taking Fletcher Cox off.
I probably would if I had to. If I had to. I probably would. Fletcher Cox, his tackle totals. What's he got compared to, let's see. 37 tackles.
How many sacks does he have, though?
6.5.
Yeah.
And Snacks Harrison has 80 tackles. More than double tackles. 80 tackles.
I understand that. I understand.
That's a lot of stops.
All right, number two. Do you think Vernon was snubbed?
That's a hard one. That's a hard one because I know how valuable he's been, and I think he's played at a Pro Bowl level.
I agree.
But here's the problem. The numbers, unlike Snacks, where the numbers jump off the page when you see 80 tackles, he's got 11 more tackles than any other defensive lineman in football. That can't be ignored. How do you...
He does lead the league in tackles for loss.
Understood. But what do they do with defensive ends? They go to the sacks. They look at the tackles. They look at the pressures. He's got some good pressure numbers. He's got some good tackles for loss numbers. But the sack numbers, he doesn't have double digits.
Okay.
And you know what's going to happen. They're gonna snub him for that. I could make an argument that he's as good as anybody who's going to that game.
Agree.
But I understand why.
Agree. Anybody else jump out to you on the roster that you think should have been in but wasn't? Those are the two guys to me that kind of jumped out that could have been considered. But I understand why they didn't make it, but I do think both guys have played, like you said, at a Pro Bowl level.
You know, as much as I think that Justin Pugh is that kind of player, he missed 5 games due to injury, so you can't put him in.
I agree. And also the overall play of that unit, I think, probably takes something away from him, too.
I agree with that, too. Richburg is a very good center, but right now he's just a very good center. He's not a Pro Bowl center.
Yeah, and I don't think he's playing as well as he did last year, to be honest with you.
I agree with you. But that could also be because Pugh missed half the season.
Absolutely.
A third of the season.
Mm-hmm. All right, Giants and Eagles, if you want to listen to our preview of that, you can log off of Twitter, go to Giants.com or the Giants mobile app. You can follow the rest of the show there right now. So let's, Paul, look ahead. Thursday night football. The Giants rock out their Color Rush uniforms. You've kind of seen the pictures of them around, so you can get excited for that. Big game against the Eagles. Giants win, they're in, which obviously is as simple as it gets. Even if they lose, I think there's like, out of all the combination of results of games, over the next 2 weeks. It's like 1 in 512 that has to happen for the Giants in order to not make
ridiculous.
The playoffs. But based on the matchups, it's also not impossible.
Correct.
So go into Philly, take care of business. It's a tough division game, but the Eagles, especially offensively here, Paul, have really struggled the last few weeks. So they did play pretty well against Baltimore.
Well, yeah, the number that sticks out for me is that in the five-game losing streak, you notice that Wentz has thrown a pick in each of those five games.
Yep.
The star on his helmet, I shouldn't say that because that would associate
with
the
Cowboys.
We
know what you mean. It's okay.
But it's lost a little luster in the last month or so.
By the way, I want to add to that real quick, Paul,
yeah.
Before you move on to it, I'll throw out one more number. Since week six, the only quarterback with a lower passing rating than Carson Wentz is Jared Goff.
And that's not good news.
And that's in a league with the Browns.
Yeah, that's not a good news. You know, other things that you note about with Wentz in recent times during that stretch, he's thrown 12 picks. I mean, he's been sacked 12 times. Let me take that back. He's been sacked 12 times.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, that goes together with Lane Johnson's suspension, by the way.
Well, who's back, by the way? Mm-hmm. He is back, and I understand he's going to start tomorrow night.
Wouldn't you start him?
Yes. Yes, I would. And over the last 6 weeks, Wentz has only had one completion of 30 yards or more.
Yeah, his accuracy down the field has certainly suffered.
Agreed. So those are the things that you look at when you look at Carson Wentz and you say, well, he's not the same quarterback he was the first 2 months of the season.
Agree.
Now, does that mean the Giants have an easy time of this? No, it does not, because there's some dude named Sproles who's going to be playing tomorrow.
It looks like he's going to be back after
and
missing last week with a concussion.
Yeah.
And by the way, Ryan Matthews has played pretty darn well the last couple weeks, too, as a running back.
Had over a buck 20
last
week against the Ravens. Okay. And, you know, Jordan Matthews, pretty good receiver, although he's a short-range guy.
How about Zach Ertz? Heck with Jordan Matthews. I'm worried about Zach Ertz.
I was trying to ignore the tight end. Because that's the thorn in my side right now.
Unfortunately, it appears the Giants' defense has also ignored tight ends for a lot of the time this year because they've had their way with the Giants' defense time and time again.
I was kind of leaving him for last because that's the elephant in the room that I just, oh, my goodness.
You can't ignore the elephant. You have to attack the elephant.
He is an elephant.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah,
he's a player.
So, you know what, folks? Here's what I'm going to tell you. I think that in some ways, in fact, in a lot of ways, the Eagles are more similar to the Steelers in terms of a matchup problem for the Giants. And I always said this, you heard me say it, Dallas and Detroit were easier matchups for the Giants. The Eagles are more Steelers-like, except for the quarterback.
Why?
They got Ben, these guys got Wentz.
I'm happy you made that differentiation.
That's the difference.
It's a big differentiation. So I guess your biggest reason for comparing the two teams then is that the variety of targets that Wentz can go to and the different ways they can move the ball?
Well, it's the similarities in the tight end and the scat back. Okay? Bless you. The tight end and the scat back, although they don't have quite the running game that the Steelers have. Where Bell's got it going, he's a better runner than anybody.
Le'Veon Bell's a top three runner in football.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But similar in that they've got the tight end and they've got the scat back to give you trouble in the passing game. Similar in that they play to tilt the field on special teams.
And they have good special teams units.
Similar in that their secondary, especially their corners, are extremely weak.
And Rodney McLeod hasn't played as well the last few weeks either.
And they rely on pressure from the front.
Yes.
And that's exactly what the Steelers do. Now, the difference here is that the Steelers are a 3-4, which seems to give the Giants a lot of problems. The Eagles are a 4-3.
And I will say this,
that's a little bit of a difference too, but there are a lot of similarities.
I'm off, and I will not do this anymore the rest of the year. I'm not obsessing anymore about how other teams' corners play. Because it honestly, and I don't want to sound flippant or snarky, has it really mattered? The Giants' passing attack here seems almost completely unaffected by the quality of the corners they're playing against. Except if you go all the way back to the Vikings when they were, you know, basically completely shut down. You know, since then they've played a lot of teams with weak corners, whether you go back to Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Washington, Cincinnati, whatever. I mean, you can the Bears, be even better example. And the passing attack has not been able to explode because teams protect those corners by keeping their safeties deep. And it gives them a lot of freedom to do a little bit more because you don't have to worry about the deep ball because the safeties are there.
Yeah, but I would only counter by saying the Giants' O-line, if they're going to step up and play like they need to, that's more of an issue. If they're not, like they did not in Pittsburgh at all.
Well, they really haven't much at all this year.
They had trouble with Dallas in the first half.
Right.
They were okay against Detroit. And to me, that's the whole problem. You can't exploit the other team's bad weakness on defense if your weak spot, your offensive line, doesn't step up
right.
and play above themselves. And that's what makes that dangerous for the Giants, because how are you supposed to attack their Achilles if they're attacking your Achilles?
201-939-4513. And then, of course, the other side of the ball, you're dealing with the Steelers, the Eagles defense, like you just mentioned. And to me, Paul, like you just mentioned, their strength is up front. I mean, their front four is excellent. Brandon Graham, Connor Barwin, Benny Logan. We talked about Fletcher Cox. We talked about Pro Bowlers already. Those are four good defensive linemen that rotate guys in
yeah.
and out. Their linebackers are playing better as well. So the Giants have to do a good job of at least holding up against a very good Eagles defensive front. I'm not saying dominate them, but you got to hold up and you got to keep your quarterback on his feet.
I'm using the phrase, I talked to my dad about it. I said they've got to play the Eagles front even.
Yes.
If they're even, the Giants should be okay. If they're less than even, if they lose that battle against the Eagles defensive front, this could be a long night.
And again, it's a short week, folks. So usually on these short Thursday nights, you're not going to see a lot of offense. It's going to be cold. These games, a lot of times, can be sloppy. You'll see some defensive scores. You see some special team scores. And let's be honest. It's Giants and Eagles in Philadelphia. Weird things tend to happen.
You're not kidding.
And the last thing you want to do is that if these other teams take care of business, you don't want to head into Washington in that final week of the year with stuff on the line.
No.
You don't want that to happen.
No.
Because that'll probably be one of the early games. You're not going to know yet what happened in the later games. So the Redskins could very much well still be alive at that point. My guess is that we're not going to be the Sunday night game, because I think you're going to have a couple division championship games that are going on later in the night. So we'll probably play first, which means the Redskins won't know if they're in or out yet, so they're going to play hard.
Of course they will.
And
division rival anyway.
That's going to be a squeak it out type of game. So go Thursday, take care of business, and then maybe you can relax a little bit next Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and when you talk about the link, Giants are 6-8 lifetime in that building since it opened. So
lost their last two there, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so.
Yeah,
it's not a fun building to play in.
Fans can, I mean, the guys know this. The Eagles fans can be a little rowdy. I'm not sure if that's their reputation
little bit.
Or not.
A little bit.
You better watch out. You better cover up those New Jersey license plates, Paul.
See ya.
201-939-4513. All right, let's get to the calls. Preview some games. Lee in Atlanta. He'll lead us off. Lee, how's it going? Thanks for joining us. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
Hi, Lee.
I got two quick statements and then one observation
yes,
slash
sir.
Question.
Cool.
First statement is Philly, the game, it's a rivalry, and Philly always scares me, but more so now, not so much that this is anywhere near a must-win. We should get into the playoffs with the way things are. But not too long ago, I called in before we played them the first time, and I said we needed to get that game. This was, you know, kind of when we were, you know, ascending and right before, or was it the beginning of the winning streak?
Yeah.
Or around that time. And I said, yeah, we need to throw dirt on them, because at the time it was real tight in the division. Everybody was, like, tied or within a game of each other.
Yes, sir.
And Philly was sliding a little bit. And we won that game, and it was close. And it could have gone either way, and they could be thinking that, hey, it could have been us.
Yeah, and
at
Lee.
10. Yeah.
Yeah, Lee, I want to add to that real quick, too. And really, if you go back to it, the reason the Giants won that game were two semi-unforced interceptions thrown by Carson Wentz, where he was forced out of the pocket now. He was.
He was
so the Giants
pressured.
Defense had something
pressured.
To do with it. But he wasn't imminently getting hit as he threw those passes, and he airmailed them over the heads of two receivers for interception. So turnovers in this game, just like in that first matchup, Lee, are going to be a real big deal.
No doubt.
Real
Eli
deal,
threw four
yeah.
Throw touchdowns that day, remember?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm worried more so Philly doesn't like us. I think that rivalry is a bit more bitter than even the Dallas-Giant rivalry.
Yeah, probably.
And I just don't want anybody to get sucked in, because they're dead, they're done, and we have games to play still. So I just hope everybody comes out clean and Beckham doesn't do anything ridiculous.
And stay healthy, Lee. Don't get hurt.
I didn't want to say that, because I need to knock on some wood, and I'm going to do it right now.
I got you.
But,
it's okay.
Yes. And the other statement I had was about the impending playoff bid. Usually when we go into the playoffs, I got the right amount of fear and trepidation, and I'm nervous, and we're on the brink, and we're just coming out of it. But this team is hitting its stride, and I don't feel nervous, and I feel kind of spoiled, because you almost feel like the past couple of years we've went, we've won. And you kind of feel like if we get in, we should go all the way. Because when was the last time we lost in the playoffs? And I'm just a little nervous that bit of arrogance is kind of in the air.
All right. That's a good point, too, Lee. And I appreciate that. And thanks a lot for the call. You can listen online at Giants.com. And I think it makes a good point, Paul, because I get too many of these, well, if we make the playoffs, of course it's going to be like 2011 and 2007.
Can you get all of that? I don't.
No?
I don't. You know, you know what I'm sensing more of, especially from the locker room. Now, you're talking Twitter or talking callers?
No, I'm not talking players. You're
talking callers,
I'm talking
Twitter?
Twitter fans, things like that. All I hear is, it reminds me so much of 2007, 2011. I mean,
I've gotten some of that. I'm not going to tell you I haven't. I'm getting more like, oh, wow, it's great to be back again because these last 4 years have been really tough.
Right, but I do get the sense what Lee said. People, spoiled maybe is the wrong word, but people seem to think, once you get in, of course we're going to win a lot of games.
The history will repeat itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Which is dangerous.
It's foolish.
Right.
Makes no sense.
Because no matter who you're playing here in the first round, Paul, and I think, in my opinion, the game I would be most confident in is playing at Detroit, just because I think they don't have a dominant facet of their team that I'm worried about. Going into Green Bay scares the bejesus out of me, because you're in Green Bay. I don't think they're a great team, but we've won our last two playoff games in Green Bay, and I think you're pressing your luck trying to win a third time.
We played them this year, and it didn't go so well.
Correct. And the game that I'm really worried about, and I know a lot of other people out there don't respect Matt Ryan. I do. I think he's a heck of a quarterback.
At home.
I do not want to play in Atlanta with all those offensive weapons. They're resting Julio Jones, so he's back healthy for the playoffs. No, thank you.
I will deal with all those things when we get there.
Okay, that's fair.
I would only say one thing to you, John.
Yes.
I don't think anybody wants to go to Seattle for a playoff game because they have won 9 straight postseason games in that building. It is the NFL's longest active streak and the second longest in NFL history.
They're on the top of the list.
That's the one you don't want to go to.
That's the last place you want to go. Absolutely.
Other than that, strap it up. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. I'm not by any means, insinuating that they can't win any of those games.
I didn't say you did.
But it ain't going to be easy.
And nor should it be.
No. Obviously not. And it's unfortunate for the Giants that they're probably going to win, probably win 11 games, even if they only win 10, in a year where 11 games or 12 won't even win you the division, which is a rare occurrence these days.
None of us
especially
would have
12.
Thought that.
No,
huh?
Absolutely
into the
not.
Year, we're all beating up on this horrible, horrible division, and now look, there's still a chance 3 playoff teams come out of it.
Yeah, well, I guess no one expected a rookie-led team to win, be 12-2 in week 15.
Didn't expect Cousins to bounce back either. Look at what he did last year. I didn't think that would happen again.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he's
pretty good.
He's real. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, that offense isn't the same. If they can't get Jordan Reed back.
Huge loss.
He played in that first half on Monday night, but you could tell he wasn't the same guy. And when he's not the same guy, that offense does not look the same.
Shouldn't be throwing punches during games either.
Not to guys wearing helmets. It's usually not
bad
a good
idea.
Yeah.
He's lucky he didn't break a finger.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Spencer in Wanta. Spencer, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on, Spence? How are you?
Good. I just I had two quick points. I was looking yesterday at the roster changes when they IR'd Vereen and Nasib.
Yes.
And they brought up a running back and then Ishaq Williams, right?
Wynn and Williams, yes.
And then I read, too, they were working Ishaq out at tight end a little bit. Is there anything to that, or was he just running there on the practice squad? Because I'm just curious if there was any shot of maybe using him as like an H-back type.
Ishaq Williams is a very interesting prospect, and they really tried to find a place for him during summer camp because
they put him a linebacker, too.
Coming in as a defensive end, It was obvious they had enough guys there, and he probably wasn't going to make it because Okwara was going to beat him out for the last spot.
Right.
So they were like, well, where can we find a spot for this guy? Because we really are intrigued with his skills. So they tried him out at linebacker. They saw enough there to say, hey, he's a football player. We don't know what he is, but he's a football player. So they got him on a practice squad. And basically, he is just an eager, so happy to be here guy who's big, strong, has skills. And I'll be honest, I have no idea if he's even going to get any snaps in a real game in the next 2 weeks. He's on the 53. He may not even get a jersey. I don't know the answer to that. But what I do know is this.
And probably not, by the way. Odds are no.
I mean, yeah, I that's why I'm hesitant
right.
to respond to your question because I don't even know he's going to get a jersey. But I will okay. say this. I've gotten to know the young man. Good guy, eager, is extremely grateful and appreciative of the opportunity after his career at Notre Dame got sidetracked by education suspensions. And so he will do everything and anything they want, including play special teams if that's what they decide to do with him.
And he's a Brooklyn kid, so
that is, so like he's tough. That. So he's tough.
Yeah. I was following his story in the summer, and when I saw him get pulled up, then I saw that little tidbit about the tight end. I said, oh, maybe, you know, just something to get to switch up the personnel a little bit. Maybe, just the end of the games, the third and short, seeing Eli in the shotgun most of the time. I'd love to see him over center with a fullback, you know. I mean, it's, you know, the same thing we've been talking about.
Nothing would surprise me about him because he's very willing and he's a very good athlete and he's big and strong and energetic. And, you know what he said to me the other day in the locker room? He was so happy for Romeo Okwara, his former Notre Dame teammate, who here in his rookie season has contributed and had that big game 2 weeks ago against Dallas. Ishak was so excited for him. And that tells you a little bit about what this guy's all about, too.
Yep.
Nice. Good to hear. The other thing I just wanted to say, we haven't even secured a playoff spot yet, but I was just thinking in 07 you had that, the Cruz 99-yard touchdown. It felt like that was and you almost felt it at the time, a season-changing play. You go back to 07, I feel like, I mean, there's always more of them, but I feel like the Bradshaw breakaway run in the comeback win at Buffalo started snowing. I feel like that was almost a season-changing play. And when I think back to this year, even though we're still in it and nothing secured yet, I feel like that Landon Collins pick six in London.
No doubt.
Just kind of changes trajectory of this whole season, the defense. And it's just, I feel like he's just having such an amazing season.
No, good point. Appreciate the call. Thanks a lot, Spencer.
You know what, though? Go back to 2007.
A little early.
When it was in the first month of the season, the goal line stand against Washington set the tone for the whole year.
Absolutely.
If they lose in London, John, where's this team right now if they lose that game? Seriously. It could have been a bad deal.
I mean, I think you got to talk about the Beckham catch and run against Dallas on the slant.
That's a really good one, too.
I mean, to me, if you lose that game to Dallas there, you're really in a squeeze box heading, playing Detroit here at home. And then who knows how that game goes coming off a loss.
I would only say that you're not even there without what happened earlier.
I think they win that game in London anyway. It's the Rams.
I don't know, man. That team was asleep.
No, I know.
Really asleep.
I know. I don't disagree with you.
Did you really want to be one of the, quote, decent teams to lose to that Rams team? Yuck. Case Keenum? Not good. Don't want to lose that game.
Fair enough.
Move on.
201-939-4513. It's just a little early for me for that to be in, but then you know what? The Redskin thing, I get it. It's fair. Solomon, he's down in Washington, D.C. What's up, Solly?
Hey, John. Hey, Paul.
Hello.
I usually call in about once a year, but I have 2 points.
Sure, go ahead.
The first is, just like you were saying earlier, it's an absolute crime that Damon Harrison isn't in the Pro Bowl. Like, to get 80 tackles from the middle of the line, because even though we're playing a 4-3, a lot of the times he will line up over the center. To get that many tackles from right there is amazing.
He is just,
he's been everything you could have asked for and more.
Yeah, and more. That's the key word there, more.
But again, I'm with you. I agree with everything you said, Solly. I think he's been great. I think he's been a Pro Bowl-level player. Unfortunately, the three guys that made it, you could say the same thing about them.
Outstanding players also.
Yes.
I would not argue that.
Right.
And just another quick side point. All three of these free agents, a big concern about them was that you didn't know how hard they were going to work. All of them are really, really high-effort guys, and I think that's why they're contributing so much.
Well, look.
And high character guys, too, by the way.
Every single one of these guys, Snacks, Jenkins, and Vernon, every single one of them have made it a point since they got here, John, and you can back me up on this, to talk about how they were hungry to be in the playoffs. They had gone their whole careers not being in the playoffs, and that was driving them. And look, they got good deals, don't get me wrong, but they wanted to make the playoffs. And they keep talking about it to this day. This week even they're talking about
it. And if you go back and you listen to Ben McAdoo's press conference, I guess that was Tuesday this week, right? He was actually asked about, you know, were you surprised at how, you know, your defense has completely done a 180 with free agent additions, which is not common in this league. Usually you have to build through the draft. That's just the way it works. But he said, you know what, when you bring guys in free agency, you can go and you can talk to other players and coaches, but you really don't know what the guy's about until you get them in the meeting rooms and you get them in the building. And he said all three guys, not just great football players on film, they're also great character guys that fit in with the Giants organization. And that, I think, really is a big reason it's worked out as well as it has.
They're driven.
Yeah.
They're really
they
driven.
Care. They care.
They Yeah.
They care.
Big time.
Yeah, and one last point.
Sure.
I was the person that that tweeted we haven't had a 100-yard tight end since 2007.
Oh,
November.
I saw that yesterday. Yeah,
is that true?
Yeah, since Shockey in November 2007.
Shockey was the last one.
Wow.
Shockey was the last one.
That's amazing. That's a great number, yeah. Solly.
You know, you would have thought Boss, or you know, maybe, but
yeah.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird. I thought Martellus Bennett would have had one, too. But
good call.
Yeah.
Good call.
Or even Larry Donnell a couple years ago when he played that full year and he was pretty good. Yeah, that's surprising.
And I don't think we have a 100-yard tight end, at least till the end of this year. But I think my bold prediction for this game is we're going to win 35-10. The Eagles will probably go up 7-0, and then I think we just pull away. And the thing that gets us to 35 is a pick six.
Well, Solly, I was going to say, if the Giants get to 35, I think you're looking at one defensive score, maybe two, or at least another score that's set up by really good field position
that's
by the defense.
Points.
Because the Eagles' defense is still actually pretty solid. It's pretty good. You're not going to really march the ball up and down the field on them. If you want to get to 35, your defense and special teams better have something to say about it.
That's a lot of points.
I just have a little bit more confidence because last week, even though we didn't really have an explosion on offense, for the first time in a while, we saw Eli, like, spread the ball around. It wasn't just to Odell or just to the receivers. Everybody got some, and I think if he can keep spreading the ball around and we can run the ball kind of like how we did with Paul Perkins, then I think we can put up 27 points. And like I said, I think we'll get a pick six. But that's all I have.
Would you
be okay with a one-point win?
Oh, I'll take any one we can get.
Okay, just
perfect.
Check it.
Thanks, Solly.
You know what?
Good call.
It was a good call, and we've been taking calls. And while we're doing this, it popped into my head. You had asked me earlier if there was another snub. I'm not going to say it's a Pro Bowl snub, but Dominic Rogers-Cromartie is playing better this year than he did last year.
Agree.
And he went to the Pro Bowl as an alternate. Now, I'm not saying that means he deserves to be there this year, but I will tell you he is playing his best ball as a Giant this season. And he's doing it primarily out of the slot.
Right. He's also doing it as more of a part-time player,
and
which I think might have something to do with it, by the way.
Whatever the reason, whether it's the move to slot, whether it's the fewer snaps, call it whatever you want. I'm telling you, I think Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, if you want to say slot corner, is there a Pro Bowl spot, which they don't have, for a slot corner,
he would
be my guy.
Yeah,
he would be my guy.
I haven't gone around the league and studied all the slot corners now, but look.
He's in the top 10 in the league in passes defense.
I know. And that burn rate stat that Gil Brandt puts out there, he's in the top 10 in that too. Nah, he's been great. I mean, heck. And he, by the way, made a great game-sealing interception on a play where that wasn't even his responsibility. He was supposed to play that outside wide receiver. But if you look at my story on Giants.com, my anatomy of the play, I broke down that play. Paul, he does not look at Marvin Jones once during that entire play.
No.
His eyes are on Matthew Stafford, and that's it.
I was down in that end zone on the goal line. I always go opposite where the play is going because that's a better view for me on the field. And, John, I saw him break, and I'm thinking to myself, wow. I mean, it's almost like a center fielder at the crack of the bat.
Yeah.
That's the best way I could describe it.
Yeah, he was breaking as Stafford wound up. Didn't even release it yet.
I know.
Absolutely. Mike in North Bergen, he's up next. Mike, how are you, buddy?
Hey, happy holidays, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing great, Mike. How about yourself?
Hey, man, I'm just excited, man. I can't wait for this game tomorrow, man. I'm looking forward to them retro uniforms. I'm a retro guy just like you, Paulie. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking at this team, and I'm like, it's very fitting. We got the defense playing very retro. The only thing, though, is I'm still worried about that running game. It's not really retro. It don't remind me of O.J. Anderson or, you know, Dave Meggett and them boys, Joe Morris.
No.
Even Bradshaw and Jacobs. They're not too retro, but you get my point, though. And as long as we can get that going, I feel confident going into the playoffs. You know, and maybe we could have a little, you know what I mean? We could have a little bit of a deja vu all over again. That's how I feel, guys.
Hey, yo, Mike, and I'll add this, and you're right. The run game isn't where it needs to be yet. You're still not getting the yards per carry that you need. But at least in the last two games, they've run the ball more than they've passed it. They're over 50% running the football. They haven't been great, but they've been fairly productive. They've gotten to 100 yards. They haven't had a lot of runs for losses, setting up 2nd and 12, 2nd and 13, things like that. And I want to add one more thing to that too, Mike. I think the Giants' offense is almost accepting their role now, where they see how good the defense is. So maybe they're willing to not be as explosive, protect the ball, limit the turnovers, and let the defense win the game. Now, maybe these last two games were an anomaly based on the weather and the conditions. I don't know. We'll find out the next couple of weeks. But the last 2 weeks, the way the Giants played, they did play old-school Giants football. They protected the ball on offense. They did not turn it over. They ran it more than they passed it, and they let the defense win the game. And for at least those two games, the formula worked.
Yeah. No,
all right, Shmo, can you at least agree with me on this?
What's that?
Or even you, Paulie. I mean, I feel like, and I know this isn't no big secret at this point, but I do feel like the offense is too predictable. And I'm sick. I don't know about you guys, but I'm sick and tired of seeing, you know, third down, the little stupid slant or a stupid little, you know, short little route behind the sticks, and we're getting tackled behind the sticks. Like, with the weapons that we got, I just feel like we could distribute the ball a whole lot more. And I understand the O-line's a little suspect and whatnot, but, I mean, come on, we could do a way better job. Right. And I'm just tired of seeing that all the time on third down. We're doing short passes behind the sticks. We got to get rid of that nonsense, man. Let's get more creative, man.
Well, I understand your point, but please also understand what the defense is doing. And they're willing to give you those passes. And if you believe that you've got the receivers who can catch those balls on the run and make the yak yardage that will get you the first downs, you would not be so against throwing them.
And by the way, one of those short passes, Mike, was the play where Shane Vereen re-injured his triceps and he couldn't get his hands up. If he catches that ball, you look at the coach's tape, there was a lot of room for him to run. He actually had a chance to pick up that first down. And I want to add one more thing to him, Mike, and then I'll let you finish. I talked to Eli for 12 minutes last week. Paul listened to the interview, and we aired about 7 minutes of it on our pregame show on the radio. And I went through the whole offense with him. I went through no huddle. I went through, you know, the personnel groupings, predictability. I asked him all the questions you guys have been asking me. In fact, so
get that on the site. Can you do that?
I probably can.
Put that up on the site.
I asked him all the questions I possibly could. And here's one thing I got out of what he said to me. This is something he answered many times to different questions, and he always came back to this. He goes, John, the way defenses are playing us, and it's a copycat league, and as we move forward, teams are copying each other. They're putting those two safeties back, challenging us to run the ball. And as Eli said, if you can get 5 to 7 yard chunks, you can take teams out of that. Now, the Giants haven't done that, but he did say, we have been getting better to the point we're getting 2 to 4 yards. So then you're in 2nd and 6. You're in 3rd and 3. And in those situations, these teams are protecting against the deep pass so much that you have to take the underneath stuff and be patient. The second that you become impatient is when the mistakes start, and you try to squeeze it between a corner, a linebacker underneath, and a safety over the top. That's when you lead to interceptions and turnovers, and that's when you put your all-world defense into bad positions, and you lose football games.
Absolutely.
So I get what you're saying, Mike,
okay.
And you've seen Odell Beckham and all these guys make so many big plays, you want to open it up. Trust me, I feel your pain. I'm with you. I get it. But that's how, if it doesn't go right, that's how you lose.
I understand, and I get that. And no, I don't have the coach's tape, so I'm for sure that there was openings and whatnot that, you know, weren't visible to the to the regular viewers. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like what's the deal with Will Tye? You know, we do use him from time to time, and he seems to be, you know, getting it at this point. I feel like we should feed the beast a little bit more. Or, yeah, you know, you're right. We have been running the ball a little bit better. How about we throw in a little bit of play action and, you know, catch these defenses off guard?
Well, you know,
like what Eli used to do a couple years back. You know, he was the man in play action. And I feel
once
we get everybody going, we're gonna be unstoppable.
Look, it's a great call.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call, buddy. Great stuff.
Mike, it's a great call. But understand, play action, it's at its best when you have a running game first.
And when you have safeties that are crashing down at the line of scrimmage. Safeties, even if the Giants run play action at this point, Mike, safeties
they're not doing it.
Down.
No.
They're not coming down.
No, because they don't respect right. the run game.
And they say if the Giants want to run the ball,
try. Go ahead. And they'll also play the percentages. Because guess what? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? A big play in a run is 10 yards. A big play for Beckham is a touchdown.
And I will preview a topic on our pregame show, Paul, with this question to you right now. Do you think Paul Perkins gets another bump in usage in terms of carries this week?
Against this defense, yes.
Why against a specific defense?
Because this defense is very stout and strong and stable up front.
Yeah.
And I think if you just run Rashad Jennings into those green helmets time after time after time, you're going to have a hard time finding room. I think Paul Perkins' elusiveness is probably better suited against this style of defense.
Here's how I think it's going to go. I think their snaps will remain about 50-50, but I think Jennings will take a lot of the Vereen third down snaps. Perkins will get more first and second down snaps, and therefore Perkins will see more carries. That's my bet on how it's going to go.
And I would not necessarily argue that. And the other thing is, too, I don't know. Every once in a while, we see Bobby Rainey go in there because he was supposed to be the third down backup to Vereen.
And
every
I think
once
he'll
in a while,
play
we
too.
See him. I wonder how much he'll play. I'm not sure because I'll be honest with you. He has played such on a limited basis. Now, he's had some trouble holding the ball, and I get that. But he's played on such a limited basis. I'll be honest. I'd love to see the Giants clinch tomorrow so he can play in Washington because I'd like to see a little more out of what he can do in the third down package.
201-939-4513. Paul DeTino's biggest fan. In fact, no one likes him in the white pants more than David Rochester. Dave, how are you, buddy?
Hello, brothers. How you doing?
Where have you been, dude? It's been a long time.
It's been, you know, I haven't called. I just did the math. I haven't called in like a year.
I know.
But I tried to call in as I was a mustache, and the screener guy was all confused.
Well, Dave, in fairness, you are a different type of guy, so I understand his confusion.
Dave, I got a little secret for you. Papa asked me if I was going to wear the throwback jersey on 1st and 10 this week. And they hadn't come in, and then when they came in, they were trying to get them ready, and it just wasn't doable. So I just want to let you know, it wasn't out of the question, but it did not happen.
So instead, Paul will be wearing the white pants to the game tomorrow night, right? No? No.
If Paul DeTino does not know, I'm the one that created the Paul DeTino Facebook page, and I apologize if I offended you, but I'm your biggest fan, actually.
I appreciate it, brother.
So.
All right.
Do you got anything else for us, Dave?
I got nothing really to say as usual, but I want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. Johnny Schmell, Paul DeTino.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. I love you guys and all that. So.
Thank you, Dave. Merry Christmas to you as well. Have a great holiday.
Thanks
for
ringing us
up. If the Giants make the playoffs, I want you to call back in, all right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I want to talk to Lance, too, and we got to get Eisen on the show, too, of course.
Of course. We love Mike. Thank
Enjoy,
you. Appreciate
Dave.
It, Dave. And you can hear Lance Meadow with Jeff Eagles tomorrow previewing the game on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Yeah, by the way, folks, if you're out there, Paul DeTino does not, shockingly, Paul DeTino does not have a Facebook page. So if you see the Paul DeTino's White Pants Facebook page.
It's not me.
That's David Rochester.
Yes.
And there isn't anything bad on there. I'm not sure if you've ever actually looked at it.
I've actually had someone point it out to me, and it's very humorous. Which is why I didn't, like, flip a gut over it. It is what it is. And I take it in the spirit that it was meant to be taken.
Now,
Dave,
for you folks
so,
that don't
thank
get
you.
The Paul DeTino's White Pants reference, 2 years ago when the Giants first wore their alternate white pants,
yes.
He put them on and wore them on our TV show Giants 1st and 10.
Correct.
The ladies went nuts, needless to say. But Paul has not heard the end of it, and we have not been able to get him into those tight white pants since.
No.
So now, I guess your ultimate thing the next 2 weeks, you're rooting for Tampa to win the NFC South, right? Is that your thing?
I've discussed with John how I need to get my tan back, so going to Tampa would really help me out. I only need about an hour.
Yeah, because we got a real problem. Right now, Paul actually looks Caucasian. We need that to change over the next couple of weeks. So if you're out there, Jameis Winston, this man needs a tan. Win some games. Let's go to EJ in South Carolina. He's up next. EJ, how are you?
How's it going, guys? I'm from South Florida.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what, EJ? It says South Florida. For some reason, I saw South, and I assumed it was South Carolina. What's going on? How are you?
Hey, man. It's colder over there. Don't put me there.
Dude, trust me. I wish I was in South Carolina right now.
How's it going, guys?
Doing great. How are you?
Good, thank you. I just wanted to touch on one thing. I'm not going to be too much of a pain today.
That's fine.
I know everyone's talking about the 07 team, but the one thing that scares me about the Giants team, and I love my team, is how we kind of played on the road this year and seeing how we're going to be most likely a wild card team.
That's a good point.
We're going to have to play on the road.
That's a good point.
I mean, we beat the Rams, yeah, but that was in London where there was like 50 million Giant fans, Dolphin fans, Raven fans. They're all over the place.
Yeah, EJ,
so.
I agree. The Rams game, if you look at the road record, to me, you throw that out. That's a neutral site game, and that to me shouldn't even go into the road record this year. I agree 100%.
Yep.
Now, look at these road games at Pittsburgh, you know, cold weather. This is going to be games where you're going to have to run the ball and run it well. And this is something that we're really struggling with. And I really hope, you know, that they could turn that around. But going into it as a Giant fan, you can't be so cocky because you have to look at how you played at Pittsburgh, how you played at, you know, all these other road games. I'm a little scared going into the postseason if we go as a wild card.
Well, I'll say this. This is the only bonus, and I'm sure this is what Paul's about to say too. The only teams that are heading into the postseason here that are going to present conditions challenges are – the Green Bay Packers, if they make it, in which there's no guarantee, potentially there could be condition problems in Seattle. If you're playing there, it's outdoor. Otherwise, you have Atlanta in a dome. I think it's fair to say they're probably going to be in the playoffs at this point. You have Detroit in a dome if they make it. You have Dallas in a dome if they make it. And then you have Tampa in Florida if they make it. And then, of course, Washington is a potential conditions game as well. So the only good news, EJ, is that odds are – at least two-thirds of your NFC playoff games will not be in poor conditions unless you have to run the gamut of playing Green Bay and then having to play Seattle.
Not bad. Last thing before I'll get off the air and take it.
Sure.
That's why I think tomorrow's game is ginormous because this is a hostile environment. I don't care what their record is. It's hostile. Let's face it. The Eagles, every year, they pride themselves not off winning Super Bowls but destroying the Giants' season. they have the perfect opportunity tomorrow, and their fans, we know they're going to be up and ready for it. So if we win tomorrow at Philadelphia, kind of prime time, I'm feeling good. Happy holiday, guys. Thank you.
You too, EJ. You too. Appreciate it. I love it. We got all names on here that I don't recognize, by the way. We have a great slew of callers today, by the way. Excellent job on the phones, folks.
Before
go ahead.
Before we dial them up, John,
yes,
just for all those folks out there who want to keep talking about deja vu, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Giants remain from the 2011 team.
Who are they?
Eli,
Diassi,
Cruz. Diassi, Herzlick,
Herzlick,
Manning, and Pierre-Paul.
JPP.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's, where's it's the deja vu?
It's irrelevant.
And if you want to talk about 2007, Eli?
Diassi. And by the way, throw
That's
this in
it.
The mix too. This team, very different than especially the 2011 team. And what I hate, Paul, is that, and this has become the lazy thing to do, and I had a little Twitter rant on this the other night, and then we'll get to your final three, a couple calls here as we wrap up the show. People tend to lump that 07 and 11 team into the same
basket. They're totally different.
They are completely different. The Giants won in 07 because of a great offensive line, good running game, clutch play by the quarterback, but more so than anything else, an awesome defense.
Front four, especially.
Absolutely. And look, I'm not taking anything away from Eli for winning that Super Bowl, but aside from the great game in Green Bay, he wasn't putting up monster games throughout the postseason that year. Do you know why? He didn't have to, because the defense was great.
He was very efficient, though.
No mistakes.
Very efficient.
He did not, I don't think he threw one interception in that whole playoff run.
No, and made all the throws he had to make.
Absolutely. But if you fast forward to 2011, the Giants won because of Eli Manning.
Correct.
Making big plays down the field mm-hmm. to players like Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks. The offensive line that year was holding on. Mm-hmm. That was the last vestiges of that great 2008 offensive line holding on for dear life. Okay?
Eli's got the black and blues in San Francisco to prove it.
Bingo. And the Giants couldn't really run the ball that year either. They got a little bit better in the playoffs, mm-hmm. but they still weren't a dynamic running mm-hmm. team, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And the defense, again, relied on takeaways, and they relied on the pass rush. So those 11 and 7 teams were very different. And quite frankly, this team's probably more similar to the 07 team the way they're winning. Eli, obviously a much better quarterback now than he was in 07. He was still pretty young and inexperienced back then. But to me, they went with defense more than offense.
Yeah, but this
– Eli was throwing the ball over the field
this
in 11.
This defense is better in the back end. They don't have the dominant front four.
That's fair. They are great against the run, though, like they were in 07.
They are.
They were not great stopping the run in 11.
But that front four, still better than this front four, especially in the pass rush.
I just meant overall in terms of – if you look
the secondary's better, though.
If you look at the scores of the games, mm-hmm. I think this year is more reflective of the scores of the games we saw in 07
yeah.
than what we saw in 11.
I would buy that. Without even looking, I would
right.
buy that.
And I haven't looked either, but that seems to be my impression.
So, just throw the deja vu out. That's the point. Just throw it out.
Think about those playoff games in 07. Mm-hmm. They beat the Bucs. I think both teams were under 24 points in that game. I think, what was it, like 23 to
the score.
13
I just remember
or something like
Strahan
that?
Strahan was terrific.
The Cowboys game was very low scoring.
Yes.
The Super Bowl against the Patriots was very low scoring. And then they
Green Bay game.
27-24 Green Bay?
It could have been more.
Like
Snead got
that?
Called for a holding penalty on a Bradshaw touchdown. Shouldn't have been. And Tynes missed a couple field goals,
then,
too. They should
exactly.
have blown them out.
The point being, though, that team wasn't throwing up 30 burgers all over the place.
No, they weren't.
And this team's probably not going to throw up 30 burgers all over the place either. Why? They haven't scored 30 yet in a game this year.
Right.
Anyway, rant over. Robert in Maryland. He's been waiting the longest. Robert, thanks for holding. What's going on, buddy?
Matt, you guys are killing me. You said that the Giants were – Eli's a better player than – and then what he was in 2007, that is not right. Eli, I'm a big Giants fan. Eli has not been productive this year coming out of the ball. Come on now, keep it real, guys.
I love my
Giants, you know, just, you know, and I haven't seen, I've been.
Robert, you ain't sucking up to your
the show there. Keep it real as far as what's going on.
Yeah, Robert,
Eli
Robert, let me answer you. Let me answer you. Robert, will you please be quiet? Let him finish. Put him back on. It's fine. Robert, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, let me answer you.
Real,
Robert, let me answer your original point. If you're going to disagree with me, let me have a debate with you. That's why we're here. If you put the Eli Manning from this year behind the offensive line they had in 2007, Eli Manning's a better quarterback
Without
than he was
doubt.
In 2007.
Without a doubt.
No, he's not.
You're crazy.
Not.
You're out of your mind.
No, he's not. With all the interceptions he's done so far this year and not even getting the ball to receive.
Timeout. Oh, no, Robert, listen. We run into this trouble all the time when people want to disagree. If you come with facts, it's okay. If you're just going to come with
facts,
Eli's touchdown interception. Robert,
how many interceptions do you think Eli Manning threw in 2007?
Tell him, John.
How many? Robert?
He hung up.
Of course he did.
Because he doesn't have the facts.
Eli Manning threw 20 interceptions in 2007.
Absolutely.
To just 23 touchdowns.
Yep.
In this year where he's getting killed by people, he has 25 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. So don't come on and tell me that Eli was a better quarterback in 2007 because it's a load of nonsense and it's garbage.
Kindly tell him about the completion percentage.
56%
yes.
completion percentage in 2007.
And what is it this year?
Please. 63%.
I mean, what numbers do you have? What numbers do you have?
And by the way, how about this one? In 2007, Eli Manning threw 529 passes. he had 20 interceptions. This year, he's already at 508 with two games left to play, and he has seven fewer picks and two more touchdowns.
I mean,
come on, guys. Come on. I get it. You want to disagree with us, that's fine. First of all, let's have a discussion. Don't just go on your soliloquy. And let's have let's talk about it, because that's just not right. And it seems like and it's a very innocent point, but
no,
it's whatever. I mean, here to have a conversation.
It's the old dragnet theory, just the facts.
Right.
Let's start with the facts, and then we'll discuss anything you like. But could we please start with facts?
Look, Eli had a great game-winning drive against the Patriots at the end of the Super Bowl. Yes. Was Eli phenomenal in what I still think might be his best game ever as a Giant against the Green Bay Packers? Absolutely. No argument. But in terms of a body of work, Week 10, 2007, if this show existed, we would have had 80% of the callers asking for the Giants to bench him after he threw five interceptions against the Minnesota Vikings. All right?
Do you know what's funny, too, John? And we weren't doing this show in those days, but I was on I was on ESPN Radio in those days, and I was doing a Sunday morning NFL New York football show.
People were calling him a bust.
There were people saying, we're not 100% sure that Eli Manning is what you think he is. And they were almost ready to say,
absolutely,
we're not sure that he deserves another contract.
And, you know, Paul, quite frankly,
okay,
the way he was playing
I remember those
through,
days.
And, frankly, the way he was playing halfway through that year, there were some justification for it, to be very worried about his future.
You could make an argument that he was just an average, okay quarterback.
Correct.
Yep.
But then look how he improved after that. It takes time.
But to say
he was a better quarterback in 07 than he is now is just it's ridiculous. Now, is he a better quarterback now than he was in 2011? No. Because in 2011, he had what I still think is the best year of his career, and
he
maybe one of the best seasons a quarterback has ever had in terms of fourth quarter play.
Incredible.
One of the best clutch quarterback years I have ever seen from any quarterback, period, in 2011 from Eli Manning. In fact, I'm going to bring that up right here real quick, because his game splits in two. I love this stat. This is my favorite Eli Manning stat from 2011. I got to bring it up here. In fourth quarters, just fourth quarters, okay? Mm-hmm. In 2011, you tell me, they don't have this on ESPN, the splits for fourth quarters? All right, I got to go to Pro Football Reference now. Hold on. But this is a great number, and I have to give it to you.
It's probably a number that I haven't even thought about in a long time, because it's been that many years.
That's why I don't have it memorized, because it's hard.
Okay.
But
the years do blend together,
yeah,
especially
so
when you get old, like me.
2011 Giants. Let's see. Hold on.
When I was a kid, I used to know Fran Tarkenton splits. How about that?
Well,
and that's
because you're a lunatic.
That somehow faded away into memory many years ago.
All right, splits 2011. All right, here we go. I finally got there. Thank you for stalling for me, Paul.
What do you got?
Here we go. In fourth quarters, advanced splits. Let's see.
Yes, sir.
Quarters,
and I guarantee you they will blow your mind. Because John doesn't get too excited about
too many things
like this.
Do they really not have this?
They don't have it?
Oh, here it is. I got it. Split.
What do you
fourth
got?
Quarter.
Please do.
Just in fourth quarters, mind you, in 2011,
yes.
Eli Manning threw for 1,700 yards, 15 touchdowns, 66% completion, six interceptions for a quarterback rating of 110 in fourth quarters that year.
Yeah.
Just think about this, folks. If you extrapolate that
over
the whole season, if he performed in the fourth quarter like he would in every other quarter,
like 7,000 yards.
60 touchdowns and 6,800 yards.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right.
That is ridiculous. Okay? Just saying. All right. That's it. Back to the calls. 201-939-4513.
You got one more there?
See? Okay. I go out there and I tell us how great all the new calls were, and then I get into a shouting match or something.
Well,
sorry, Carlos, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's up?
What's up, buddy?
I just wanted to say, like, the biggest thing for me as far as like the Giants' success has been their health. You know, I think that trainer has been doing a great job keeping these guys healthy.
Coach Aaron Wellman, the strength and conditioning
guy. You know what? Here's the thing. They have had their share of injuries, but I feel like the depth on the roster has improved to the point, Carlos, where they've been able to survive it. Most of the injuries, I guess, have probably been on the offensive line with guys going in and out, I guess you would probably say.
Yeah.
You had that stretch between the Viking and Ravens game where they had Eli Apple and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie banged up a little bit. But other than that, they've really – and JPP, of course, now – they've been fairly healthy with their major players, which has certainly helped.
Four different left guards, and, yeah, that stretch John mentioned, when they had the losing streak, they had four of their top five defensive backs out.
Darian Thompson.
Yeah, didn't we lead the league in your reception
the last two years, though? That is correct. That is correct.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, that's what I think. I mean, don't get me wrong, Janoris Jenkins and guys like Snacks, you know, that's, you know, you cannot ignore those players. I mean, they're awesome, but I think that's one of the key points to Giants' success so far.
No argument, Carlos.
All right, guys. Hey, you guys have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Thanks for the call. 201-939-4513. Finally, Jay in Connecticut will hit cleanup for us today. Jay, what's going on?
How you guys doing?
Hello. Great, Jay. How are you?
Haven't called in a couple weeks, but I figured I'd get in today.
Great.
I just wanted to say a few things to you guys. Schmelk, you're doing a hell of a job with those stats, because you know how everybody's always so – they're always so worried about the stats, but they don't want to pay attention to the stats that actually mean something. You know what I'm saying? So keep doing that.
Jay, you got to put the numbers in context. You're absolutely right. The numbers by themselves don't mean a whole lot. You got to put them in context.
Exactly. And I'll be 25 this year, so I'm kind of that age range of a Giants fan, but I grew up on these Giants, and I love Eli Manning. I see these people calling in and bashing Eli Manning, and I figured I just protect my guy for today. So this is how I feel about Eli Manning. He doesn't get any credit. The guy can't get credit for nothing. I don't know if it's the shadow playing behind Peyton Manning. Peyton's his brother and all that nonsense. People got to get off that. If it was all about the numbers, we'd win every year. Because look at last season. He had those crazy numbers last season. We couldn't get 7 wins. So it's like, why is everybody so upset? We got 10 wins right now. We got 4 losses. And we control our own destiny. I mean, I haven't been this excited being a Giants fan in a few years now, and I just wanted to express with you guys that, you know what, let's just be optimistic. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? We got Eli Manning. Who's to say he don't rip off another Super Bowl? You know what I'm saying? Who's to say he can't do it? I believe in the guy, so I'm going to leave it at that. You guys keep doing what you guys doing. Dottino, you're a legend.
He is a legend. That's true.
I'm a fossil and a dinosaur, too.
Hey,
only
friend.
Old
right,
people are legends.
Jay, thank you. And let me just say one thing to you. Let me just say one thing. You're 25 years old. As much as you think you love Eli now, if you watch Craig Morton quarterback this team in the mid-70s, you'd want to vote for Eli for president. Trust me.
Hey, I hear you. Keep doing what you guys are doing.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it. And Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year. Whatever holiday you celebrate, hope you have an excellent one and spend some time with your family. Real quick, before we say goodbye, I wanted to hit a couple tweets here.
Go.
We did not mention the walkie-talkie thing, which came out yesterday officially.
Yes.
And somebody asked, John, do you feel the fines on the Giants for walkie-talkie use is warranted or too much? We'll simply repeat what the Giants said. We accept the league's punishment. We understand it, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Bing, bang, boom.
There's nothing else to say.
And everyone's moving on. And, you know, it happens, and the team – will accept the punishment. They're not going to, you know, try to pursue getting it reduced or put up a challenge to it or anything like that. So luckily something like that quietly will now move ahead, and we won't have to worry about it until we get to the draft and that fourth-round pick potentially getting moved down as many as 12 spots. Couple other questions right here. At Spainman 1991 doesn't know why we spent all this time on the Pro Bowl, considering none of the Giants players will be in it because they'll be preparing for the Super Bowl. Thought you would like that one, Dottino.
Snacks may be going to the Super Bowl. Maybe he won't need that vote.
Okay, here's a question from Vic Fontana. John, why do DBs look in the backfield when it's a pass for sure? Why do they not just cover? Seems like they get caught peeking sometimes and makes mistakes.
I mean...
Well, they're trying to read the quarterback to go for interceptions. That's what it is.
Yeah, you can't say don't be aggressive and go for the takeaways and then say why are you doing that? Because that's part of what you do to try to get takeaways. Right?
Yep. Oakland Mike at Mike_Har, and I'll give this to you, Paul. How concerned are you about the defensive end combination in Dallas with David Irving emerging against Tampa, and Randy Gregory making a return. I would not worry about Randy Gregory.
Nor would I.
Given he hasn't seen the football field in about 2 years.
It's impossible to be concerned about him right now. You just don't know what he is. And even when he was on the field a little bit for Dallas prior, he didn't do much.
No.
So Irving's very interesting to me. All of a sudden, I mean, the Giants just played them 2 weeks ago, and
he didn't do squat.
He was non-existent.
But he had a game early in the year, I think it was maybe against Minnesota, where he looked dominant. So it's weird. Like, he's had these flashes here where he's looked really good. He's 6'7". He's a real big guy. So you can see physically maybe he has something. But you're right. He's been very inconsistent.
Yeah. So, again, that's not somebody I'm going to lose sleep over.
Eli is the red zone offense this year. 25 touchdowns against 13 picks in 14 games isn't that bad. The yard's just a little lacking. And he's right. The Giants haven't exactly pounded the ball into the end zone here with the run game this year. So he has had to take a lot on his shoulders in terms of getting the ball into the end zone.
No That's question.
Fair. All right. Good job, everybody. Tomorrow it's Lance and Feagles. I'm back with Feagles on Friday to recap Giants and Eagles. We're off on Monday. They're giving us a 3-day weekend, so just keep that in mind.
Okay.
And everyone enjoy your Christmas weekend. We'll see you next Tuesday. And if you want to check out our pregame show on WFAN, it starts at 6:55, 6:60 a.m. or 101.9 FM on your radio. What do you got, Paul?
First and 10, which usually airs on Fridays on MSG, will air tonight at 6 p.m. on MSG because of the Thursday game.
Thank you. Check out all that great content as you get ready for the Eagles. And then you get a Giants-free football weekend where you can relax with your family. You have no stress. You can watch the other games.
No stress? I can't live without stress.
Shut up. For the Lunatic, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you next time on Giants.com. Have a good one, everybody.